This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Junkies, Les Flunkies. Welcome back to the NWA Saturday special for this week. I am Scott Criscolo. Joining me, the doctor, Dr. G. George Molino. Happy Valentine's Day.
Same to you. I know it's your favorite holiday.
It is. That's why if you go to my Twitter, the hearts are black because it's a bullshit holiday. So fortunately, I...
What you call Les Junkies or Les Flunkies?
I said Junkies, Les Flunkies. I don't know if he late. They lay flunkies,
but over here.
Come I don't know. Maybe I'm in the mood to talk a little Rene Goulet. Maybe we have some Rene Goulet matches on our GWC. No, we don't. Wouldn't it be awesome if we did, though? Anyway, Doctor, how's it going?
You know, it's going okay. You know,
we're breathing still.
Been a
barely,
long week,
but we are.
Long.
It has been every week.
But we're here. At this point. That's the main thing.
We are. We're always here for you. Here on the PTB Wrestling Network and the rest of the quad of pods, which, by the way, I think I'm going to copyright that. The quad of pods. Starting, of course, with the PTB Wrestling Network. And yesterday, if you're listening to this on Saturday, which is not only Valentine's Day weekend, it's also President's Day weekend. So some of you are off till Tuesday. Isn't that cool? Some aren't, which blows. But you have us to listen to, which every week we bring joy and happiness to everyone who clicks.
Well, what's better than a Saturday morning waking up, getting your coffee ready,
or
brewing
tea.
Your coffee,
or tea if Suki
or tea
kettle on, and listening to us.
Yeah, turning the going clicking on the whatever Apple podcast wherever you listen
Spotify,
to podcasts,
you know. Apple Pods, Amazon Music, rate, like, subscribe, what the fuck, whatever it is.
Rate, review.
Review. Yeah, reviews, we'll take those two.
We love the reviews. What are you kidding?
Yeah, well, what if they're bad? What if they say, I'm a junkie, and I don't like when the flunkies are named first? I mean, I don't know. Anyway.
We delete all bad reviews. Fake news.
Doesn't sound like the current administration. Anyway. All right. So, on the PTB Wrestling Network, we got a lot of great stuff. Yesterday, Dr. G dropped the newest episode of NWA Crock and Roll. As you guys are delving into November 1985,
that's
getting very close to that big show.
Right now.
Yeah. Big show.
We're not really new anymore though.
No, you're not really new anymore.
But
I never thought you
but
were.
But I tell you the truth. If you really want to watch, you know, you're sitting around now and you're like, oh, I'm tired of the same product we're watching now. Or, you know what? I watched a lot of the Attitude Era. Great stuff. You know, I love the Attitude Era, of course. Go back and listen to and go watch the stuff that we're watching from 1985.
That's right.
Through 1988. Crockett. You can't get any better. I'm telling you right now.
You cannot. I agree with you 100%. And you guys did a good episode. So check out Dr. G, Sean Kidd, Callum McDougal, and who was with you this time? Oh, Rory McNamara. Hello.
Yes.
You? He's very British. He's very very demure.
He adds a lot of class to the podcast.
He does. So you guys did part one of November 1985, so check that out. Also on the feed this week, newest episode of Highway to the Impact Zone, Logan, Jake, Ben, Lewis Maynard, three episodes of Impact from late October, early November of 2004, so check that out. And it was an anniversary this week. Dr. G, that's you. My PIC, Mr. Rosero, and I celebrated 10 years of the Place to Be podcast. And it was episode 570. So we brought back old-timer Andrew Reich along with Pete Winston, and we live-watched Survivor Series Showdown 1991. So you could watch that with us.
Do you think it's one of the longest-running podcasts?
I do. Steve Bennett's show, Sportscasters, has gone on just as long, uninterrupted. In fact, his is older by like a month. I think he's the only guy I know. I mean, there's other guys like Bill Simmons, but then I said people that actually everybody likes. So, but anyway,
yourself, don't you?
We do very much so. Well, if you can't, then you know, why bother? Really, you know, it's hard to be humble.
Congratulations.
Thank you, Dr. G. It's hard to be humble when you're looking like me and the PIC. I don't know. I can't even get that out of a straight face. But anyway, check out this week, the newest episode 570. JR and I were with Andrew Reich and Pete Winston, and we live watched Survivor Series Showdown 1991. We also debuted two new shows here on the network, Extreme Resurrection. James Groomberg and Michael Cook look at the first two episodes of the WWE incarnation of ECW, July 4th and the 11th of 2006. And in a brand new show that'll be happening, another weekly show, only the second weekly show besides ours, Dr. G, Chronology. Yes, Neil Trauma, Dave Thakara, they are going to begin a week-by-week watch of Monday Night Raw going all the way back to January of 1993. So they did a new one this past Sunday, and you'll see a new one this coming weekend as well. So we're the Saturday weekly show. Chronology will be the Sunday weekly show. So it'll be a lot of fun. Check that out. Wow.
Yeah, so you can get up early on a Sunday morning, and brew that coffee.
Yep.
Put the kettle on for tea. Put the
kettle on. There you go. Yep. And, of course, don't forget
I like that name. I really like the name of that podcast.
Chronology? Yeah.
Chronology.
Neil Trauma. By the way, Neil Trauma is, in case you don't know, Doctor, before you love Neil Trauma a ton, he's the one that recommended Ravello's. Just letting you know.
Hey, like everybody has a bad.
Yeah, because Val
doesn't make him a bad person.
Forge? What was it? Pigeon Forge, the pizza capital of the world. Forge, what was it? Pigeon Forge, whatever.
Old Forge or something. I don't whatever. Remember.
The pizza capital of the world.
What world? Mars. Oh, Lord.
Anyway.
No, but good luck to them. Congratulations on their new podcast. I actually look forward to listening to that. You know what? I remember Raw starting when we were back in college, and, you know, we thought it was a cool, new show, you know, right. Because we were so used to the primetime. So we were, something a little different, and the name Raw, you know. It's definitely historical wrestling program. So good luck to those guys. I think that'll be a lot of fun. I think they'll have fun reviewing some of that stuff.
I agree. And I'm happy that we have a Raw show back. Of course, we have the wonderful Wrestling Warzone by PIC and Chad. They, of course, do it. But they did it. They do it as a comparison with Nitro. And they started when Nitro started. So in 1995. And, of course, that show is over on one of the other feeds here on the quad, the No-So, the North-South Connection podcast. Don't forget the PTB Pop Experience, Andy Atherton. And, of course, Jenny with the Jenny position. So the quad of pods. I love that. I'm copywriting that motherfucker. That fat fuck in Huntsville, he doesn't come up with cool things like quad of pods. No, box of gimmicks. Yeah, like that's inventive. Anyway, you knew I had to get my dig in. Anyway, we got a good show this week here on the Saturday special. We are halfway through our ballot, Dr. G. Halfway through our GWCW match ballot that we put forth. And guess what? I believe I talked to my good friend Tyler Kelly. I think sometime this week on PlaceToBeNation.com, the first honorable mention piece will be up. Honorable mention. Because there's a couple hundred matches. So, of course, as you know, as we did with the other compendium lists, we did honorable mentions, like everything up to 101, and then, of course, the official 100. So check that out this week on PlaceToBeNation.com. I'm pretty sure that the first entry will be up. But, of course, as you know, Dr. G and I are counting down our ballot that we put forth, and we are halfway there, 50 down, 50 to go. And I'm going to read matches 100 to 51 right now. So at number 100, no, I'm only kidding. I'm not doing that. If you want to see what the first 50 were.
But you want to put everybody to sleep? They're just getting their coffee. Come on.
I know. Suki's kettle's not even hot yet. If you want to, of course, listen to the previous five episodes to catch up. So, but before we do that, Dr. G. Oh, and by the way, of course, since we are, you know, into the top 50, you know what that means? Cream of the crop. We're getting to the good stuff. We're getting some. And tonight you are like,
you know that we're going to be arguing at least definitely in the top 10.
Probably, but not as much as you
put this together, but you ranked it.
I ranked
it. I didn't have any part in ranking
this. You gave me probably 2/3 of the matches. I ranked them, but I don't think you will. You may. I'll tell you this. I don't think you'll argue with the match picks. You might argue with me on a slot or two, but I don't think you'll be too bad. That's my opinion. But anyway, we'll get to that in a minute. But tonight we will do matches 50 to 41. And I think you'll like, Dr. G, many of the ones I ranked. But before we do that, one news bit that actually makes me feel quite warm and fuzzy. It's about our world's heavyweight champion, which, by the way, before we move on, I told you this the other day. Somebody on Twitter, I can't remember the handle, said something weird like, did I just look that the great Muda is the new NWA World's Heavyweight Champion? And I'm like, what? Was there a show last night and Nick Aldis dropped the belt? Did I miss something? And then I went to his wiki. I went to the wiki and then I went to some stuff. And no, Nick Aldis is still the keeper of Sweet Charlotte. But I don't know where the hell. That guy must have been drunk. I mean, Muda has been a past NWA champion. And well, we've mentioned Muda on our list so far. And there's some more Muda to come. But I don't know what the hell that guy was talking about. Anyway. Okay. So listen to this news piece, Dr. G, and tell me if you feel a harbinger maybe of things to come. Okay? Okay. NWA, this was off lordsofpain.net, wrestling headlines. NWA World's Champion Nick Aldis recently spoke with the Turnbuckle Tavern Show to discuss a number of different topics, including how the National Treasure is eyeing a collaboration with WWE to put on a massive Starrcade event. All right. Comment. This is quote number one. How WWE has worked with smaller companies in the past. Here's what he said. Quote. And if there comes a moment where they decide that interacting with a smaller entity for a certain amount of time or working out different things, which they have done in recently, they did it with Evolve. They did it with some of those British independents there and stuff. And they did it before with ECW. This is not a new thing. So in my mind, I'm like, I'd love to see a point. And I'm putting this out there, just putting it out in the universe. But it's like, when I saw them do Starrcade on the WWE Network, it kind of broke my heart a little bit. And again, just because of the expectation I had created for it, right? So that's the first quote. Here's the second quote. On talks, WWE possibly working with the NWA to put on Starrcade. Quote. But to me, it's like, well, the IPs are still there. And if we can build up enough momentum to where they can't ignore it, and if the fans want it enough and the fans voice it enough and they make enough noise about it, who's to say that we couldn't have a huge extravaganza of Starrcade with the first time in history in the decades old sort of story of the NWA and the WWE, the two sort of historically, the two kind of powerhouse organizations. For the first time ever, they come together and co-promote Starrcade. It's like, you know what I mean? These things can happen, unquote. Dr. G. G of the doctors, do you think WWE and NWA could sit down and work out a mega Starrcade?
Well, you know, I never want to say never. I mean, there's more in it for the NWA than there is the WWE. But if you want to have like a special on the network, why not? The only thing is, you know, a lot of, you know, if you want to go nostalgic, obviously you want to get some of the nostalgia, some of the old NWA guys. A lot of those guys now are in AEW. So, you know, Tully and Arn and, you know, Jake. You know, I guess Jake is crossover. But if you want to show the rising stars in the WWE and some of the stars, you know, from the NWA, it'd be interesting. Let's put it that way. I wouldn't be against it. I think it would be kind of fun. What's the chances of it happening? I guess these days, like you said, never say never. I would say, I don't even know if it's 50-50, but I don't know. I mean, you know, he's tossing that out there. So is he tossing it out there just to kind of get clickbait and kind of get people talking about the NWA again? Or is there, you know, some validity to it where there may be some discussions going on with Billy behind the scenes with the WWE, but WWE has so many fish to fry. Is this going to be something, you know, do they feel that the current NWA is going to do anything for this show? I don't know. You know, what do you think?
I mean, if WWE wants to, how do I word it? If they want to kind of get some good press with the crowd, with the wrestling audience, I think it would be in their best interests to maybe do something of that nature, where they, you know, work with a brand like the NWA, because they own, I mean, it's easy for NWA to approach WWE, because they're the ones that own the property. And maybe instead of being douchey like Cody did, maybe Nick Aldis and Billy Corgan go to Vince and Triple H and say, come on, think about it. I mean, you work with Evolve. You work with... Now, obviously, the end game of all that was they were going to buy those companies. The WWE is not going to buy the NWA. I mean, that's stupid. But why the hell not? You know, have a do it in December, because who gives a shit? Get rid of TLC. Nobody fucking cares anyway. You're not going to put it in November because WWE won't replace Survivor Series. That's not going to happen. But fuck it. You know, make the December pay-per-view or December monthly show Starrcade. And once do it every year. Who cares? Who gives a shit? Have some fun. I've said this all along, that the one thing WWE never did, and I don't know if they'll do it now that, you know, in terms of the interface, you know, in the next sometime, obviously in a month or so, Peacock will be not calling the shots, but they'll be handling the interface. WWE could have done so much with the network, and that was one of the big things, besides just buying properties. But that's, to me, that's just Vince's short-sightedness. That's just Vince being... And to a certain extent, it's almost Vince being a hypocrite, because he cried and cried and about, you know, being old school. And, you know, he got all pissy because the promoters in the 80s were getting pissy that he was, you know, that they weren't changing with the times. Well, it's 2021 and he's not changing with the times. And maybe now is the time for Mr. Levesque to get in his ear and say, listen, why the hell not? What do you have to lose? You've got nothing to lose and everything to gain. And why don't they just do that?
Like, I mean, it would definitely be more beneficial to the NWA than it would the WWE. But it can't hurt
totally
the
agree
WWE.
With that. I don't totally. I mean, yes, I agree with you. But I don't think it's a 100-0. I think WWE right now is the bad guy. They're the evil empire of pro wrestling. And I think this would be a good way to kind of get some goodwill with the crowd, with the audience, with the fan base around the world that, hey, look, see, we are trying to work with somebody else. They're working with, you know, Billy Corgan. See, unlike the one thing about Billy, he's not going to be the kind of guy that's going to sit and piss and moan about results. Like, I don't think, and WWE, unlike the other promotions, could eat a guy beating somebody and it not mattering. Like, there's enough star power. You don't have to, excuse me, you don't have to. I'm like Peter Brady, you know, on the Brady Bunch. People can change. Unlike the other promotions, WWE has enough star power in the company that's not a champion that Nick Aldis could defend Sweet Charlotte against AJ Styles. You know what I mean? Or against somebody who's not, it doesn't have to be Drew McIntyre. It doesn't have to be Roman Reigns. You don't have to have champion versus champion. You could have Nick Aldis against Seth Rollins. See, that's the best part. You could have Nick Aldis look good and win a match because WWE has so much star power, you don't have to have one of the two champions.
Well, on paper, you're absolutely right. I mean, as we sit here and we talk about it, there's many different things you could do. It's just a matter of if, you know, the boss wants to do it. That's the thing.
Right.
And does he feel – listen, WWE is not going to do anything unless they feel it's going to be beneficial to the company. I mean, I could say – oh, well, it'll bring more money, but unfortunately, in these times, we don't know when crowds are going to be back to make some money. But
right,
but I just knowing the way the company is, I don't 100% foreseeing it happening. But these days, like I said, I don't say, you know, never say never. I always say that, but I just. Don't know what WWE's thinking is right now, but I can't see it being a problem. Even if you put it on just like a special on the network, you know, where it's just even if it's on a, you know, Friday night or Monday night, it doesn't necessarily have to be an actual major pay-per-view. You know, now you could, you know, like they did the Starrcade. What did they do it a couple of years ago?
Yeah, they did like a half-assed house show thing. It was okay. It wasn't great. They kind of half-assed it. This, well, I think,
maybe you could do
better...
something a little bigger than that, but just could put it on whatever night. And
again, I say just do it on a Sunday, or screw it. If you want to do your TLC, then do it on. You're right. Do it on a Saturday on another weekend. You know, and. Have some fun with it. I think WWE is just too...
Or if they really don't want to put their main guys on, put the NXT guys on. The NXT guys and the NWA guys. Why not?
I thought that, but that sounds glad-handed. Like, that sounds... That's a case where you're almost insulted. That,
yeah, well, I mean, you know, that's just the way WWE
works.
But
WWE has to stop being so fuddy-duddy. And I don't think they ever really gained a full... use of the network. I think they just wanted a vessel for old stuff. They never did other than NXT. They never did nearly as much, except for some of these crappy some of these original shows are garbage. Other ones are good, but they could have really. And
I agree with you on that. I agree with you on the fact that the network really had a lot of potential. They did. They tried. You know, the Legends House. They did try doing some different things, which was kind of cool.
Right. No, I agree.
You know, Mick Foley, you know, reality show.
Mm-hmm.
So they did try some things, but I don't know why. I mean, maybe because the production costs are a lot. There's a lot more they could have done with the network. It's still around, so... There's still a lot you could do with it. I was surprised because Vince is such a, you know, he's like the Walt Disney of wrestling. You know, he always has these great ideas and inventions and stuff like that. And I thought with his own network, he'd really be able to do things that we've never seen before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. So I think it's very interesting that Nick Aldis is not only the world's champion, but he's a pretty good businessman. And I think being around Billy has kind of, you know, really taught him, and being in various promotions, you know, in England and, of course, in TNA for a long time. He kind of saw the positives and negatives of business people in the industry. So I'm sure he's kind of fishing. You know,
but listen, I mean, at this point, he's not working that much. So you got to fish for something. You got to try something. I mean,
yep.
He is the face of the company. Nick Aldis is not as respected, though, in the wrestling community as much as we would love him to be, you know, in terms of, you know, with the two big companies, which is kind of weird. I don't know why. I think, you know. Is he the best wrestler in the world? No, but I think I think the way he performs and the way he makes that NWA titles mean be so special that maybe you know what? Maybe that's what does make him. Now, I don't know. You know, obviously, I think he's grown since his time at TNA. I mean, unfortunately, he doesn't wrestle as much these days.
I agree.
But, you know, I don't know. And he seems like he's a good guy. I don't see him. It doesn't seem like he'd be a problem backstage. So, I don't know. It'd be interesting. But I would love to see, I mean, listen, right now we're so yearning for anything with the NWA. I would love to see it. So, it definitely makes you think, makes you kind of throw something out there. Maybe he's just trying to keep the fire lit for some of us that are like, you know, yearning for some kind of NWA news. But whatever it is, you know, let's see. Maybe something might happen. You never know.
Yeah, I agree.
Never say never, right?
Nope, I agree. And we're still getting that feeling that hopefully by May, Power comes back.
Power
comes back. So we keep our... But you know what? Every week, I like to see at least one NWA news tidbit to make me feel happy. So we got that. Every week, I want at least one tidbit.
Yeah.
So
should they bring it back again?
Oh, Jesus, God, no. He's not in it this week. So.
Oh, yeah. The Macho Man thinks the NWA is come back.
Yeah. Do you want to do a whole, you want to just do a whole show where you just talk like him for like 3 hours? Yeah, you... That's like when JR does Vince.
Oh, my God, I have no voice left.
Yeah, none of you will talk for 3 weeks. So anyway.
You.
All right.
You. Freak you.
All right. So it's time now to go to back to our yours and my GWCW ballot. Of course, this is for the big project of the greatest
NWCW. The Dr. GWCW.
Oh, did you really? You do move the mic around. See, maybe I got to get you a headset now, too, because suddenly people complain to me on my old mic that I sounded like I was in an airport. I don't know what it is. Maybe your man cave is at LaGuardia. I don't know.
No, well, this mic picks up everything because I'm
well,
here in the basement.
The same mic I do.
In the man cave down here, but that's the heat.
The macho
here,
cave?
So that's...
Is it the macho man cave?
Yeah, let me tell you something. Elizabeth decorated this.
All right. So, as I mentioned earlier, 50 down and 50 to go. You and I are halfway through our ballot of the 100 greatest NWA / WCW matches of all time. And tonight we are going to do matches 50 to 41. And you are going to like this, these 10 matches, Dr. G. Sean Kidd may not like all 10 of these matches, and you'll know why as we move along. At number 50, Dr. G, is undoubtedly the oldest match on our list. Okay? It's the oldest one. Now, if you remember, the parameter was 1981 to 2001. Just that 20-year stretch is where matches were eligible. So this is the oldest match on our list. We're going to go to a weekly episode of Mid-Atlantic Championship Wrestling from July 7th, 1982, and a match for the Mid-Atlantic Heavyweight Championship. Your champion, the Hot Rod, Rowdy Roddy Piper, and the challenger, Jack Briscoe.
Briscoe, yep.
Of course, Jack Briscoe.
When you said Mid-Atlantic, I knew where you were going.
Jack Briscoe was on the back end of his singles career. This would be kind of it for him for a singles perspective. He would then spend the next like couple of years teaming with his brother,
you
Jerry.
I watched this match recently.
Yep. And remember, Piper was the champion and he stole the title from Briscoe, you know, not stole it, but, you know, cheated to win. And, you know, Briscoe had to put up money for the title match and he had to lose the money and the title. This was a fun TV match. It was probably 13, 14 minutes. And Piper wins with the good old way to win a match back in the 80s, a roll of quarters. That was like the big cheating thing back in the day.
It was.
Southern wrestling. Hitting somebody in the face with a roll of coins, whether it's
dimes
or...
They love the old roll of coins, yep.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Yep, yes, you and I, God, I want to say we watched this within the last year. I remember us watching this because we were, you know, as we were trying to prepare and some matches. You were like, in those days when you got like a good TV match, you know, because a lot of times it was squash matches on these programs. If you think about it for that time, you're like, wow, this is a good match. You know, former NWA world champion and, you know, the Hot Rod. The Hot Rod, you just wanted to smack him in the mouth when and those
pretty
days,
much.
You know?
Yep, pretty much.
He was good classic heel. Now, good match. Yeah, definitely deserves to be in the top 50, no doubt about it.
Yeah, no, and not the last we will see of the Hot Rod in this game. We've already had a couple of Hot Rod matches, too, so...
I wish I could do Roddy. Yeah, I wish
Let
I could do
Roddy. Let me tell you something. Jack Briscoe, you're going to come out here, and you're going to... there's other guys that could do a better Piper than me, but that's about as close as I get. Typical class heel Piper. This is as good as it gets. So, number 50 on our list from the July 7th, 1982 episode of Mid-Atlantic Championship Wrestling, the Hot Rod, Rowdy Roddy Piper versus Jack Briscoe for the Mid-Atlantic Championship. At number 49 is, I don't think we've had these two yet, but this is probably, Dr. G, next to, you know, Hogan and Andre, Hogan Savage, or, you know, Hogan Piper, this is probably the feud of the 1980s. We go to the Greensboro edition of the 1986 Great American Bash inside the steel cage for the NWA World's Heavyweight Championship. Your champion, the Nature Boy Ric Flair, and your challenger, the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes. Would you say, Dr. G, not counting the WWE, that this was the feud of the decade?
No doubt. I mean, like I tell people all the time, my first favorite wrestler was Dusty Rhodes. I mean, he was like the man. You know, he was on all the magazine covers. He was, you know, he had the Hulk Hogan's popularity to a certain extent, obviously, because everything was territory based. But no matter where he went, he sold out during the 80s. And those matches with, you know, Flair, I mean, they had such a rivalry. It was like Yankees Red Sox, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And absolutely. Now that you've learned a lot, you know, you and I sometimes have these discussions, you know, going behind the curtain a little bit, you know, the kayfabe's kind of gone, which kind of sucks. But the things that you do like about it, now that you know, like, they're true, like, they really respected each other and they loved each other at times, but there was also like a rivalry, like a brotherly rivalry. And so now when you really go back and you listen to some of the interviews, you see the little jabs they throw at each other in terms of like what kind of cars they have, what kind of, you know, the material things, you know, if, you know, Flair bought his wife a $5,000, you know, mink coat, Dusty was going to go buy a $7,000. You know, Minko for his wife. You know, like, that's just the way they were with each other behind the scenes, you know, off camera. But when they got on the camera and, you know, some of the best interviews of the 1980s, you know, was listening to them in their various interviews about each other and about each other's matches, there's no better. And they had good chemistry in the ring. No, we know that Dusty is not a technician by any stretch of the imagination. But when he needed to go 60 minutes, he could go 60 minutes. And they just had a chemistry with each other that I don't know of any. I mean, you figure it was a good almost 10 years. Yeah, I get, you know, obviously off and on. But I would say a good solid 6-7 years where they were in the 80s that it was just constant for them. You know, they go into their own feuds, but it was always wound up being Dusty and Flair at some point.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Absolutely. My first match. It was either sometime, I think it was 1982 when I went live. I mean, obviously I was watching wrestling before that, in the Sunrise Musical Theater, and the headline match was Dusty Rhodes versus Ric Flair for the NWA World Heavyweight Championship. So it goes back.
Yep, it absolutely does. Now, of course, this was on the heels of that. Now, they had wrestled at back-to-back Starcades. 84 was the million-dollar match with Joe Frazier as the ref. And then, of course, a pay-per-view that you guys will be getting to very soon, Starcade 85, which will not be the last time this match. Not the last time that card will be referred to on our countdown. As a matter of fact, I think it's referred to on this show. Oh, no, it's not. But it will be down the line. When Dusty apparently had won the title, but then it got Dusty finished a week later, thanks to Tommy Young and et cetera, DQs and such, and Flair got the belt back. But this was legit. He won the belt on this night, and Dusty Rhodes didn't hold it for long. I think he held it for, like, I don't know, 3 weeks or something, and then Flair won it back. But this is, in my opinion, the best match that they had. I love this match. First of all, it's a cage, so you're not going to, you know, that just makes everything better anyway. But again, just they had so they worked so well together. And when you look at Dusty, you're like, Jesus, this guy could go more than like 6 minutes. Yeah, he can. An amazing match. It's on the network under the Hidden Gems. You have to watch it. From the Greensboro edition of the 1986 Great American Bash at number 49 on our list, Ric Flair versus Dusty Rhodes in a steel cage for the World's Heavyweight Championship. At number 48, Dr. G, is a match of a gimmick that we've already seen. This match is good, but it's more known for the infamous ending for a move that was almost botched to the point of paralysis. I think we all know what I'm talking about. From Wrestle War 1991, the War Games match. And let me officially give you the teams, because it ended up being kind of a mess. It was the Four Horsemen, Ric Flair, Barry Windham, and Sid Vicious with Larry Zbysko. Arn was injured, so he could not wrestle. Versus Sting, Brian Pillman, and the Steiners. And the match went 21-50. The Horsemen actually won. And that was only because Sid Vicious almost broke Brian Pillman's neck botching a power bomb because he couldn't get the move all the way up because of the roof of the cage. It's one of the most ridiculous botches in wrestling history.
It was. I remember and it almost, that.
But having said that, the match overall is actually pretty good. I mean, it's typical Horseman, but one of the few times they actually won. That might be one reason why I put it on this list, is because it's one of the few times the Horsemen actually won a War Games match, because, of course, they never did.
But boy, the Steiners at that time, they were at the top of their game at that time.
Right.
They were the Road Warriors of the 90s. I mean, they were stiff.
yes.
A little better actual wrestlers than Hawk and Animal, but
right,
there was not a night at the park with
yeah, no,
when you went in the ring with the Steiners.
Yeah, overall it's a pretty good show. There are some stinkers, but there's actually a very young Eddie Guerrero wrestled a dark match on this show. There's a 6-man tag. Got a little Japanese women's match action. Vader and Stan Hansen in a no DQ match. Oh no, I'm sorry. I cross matches. Vader and Stan Hansen wrestled to a double DQ. Terry Taylor and the Z-Man wrestled in a no DQ match. I would have given Vader and Stan Hansen the no DQ stip, to be honest. Imagine those two hitting you in the face. Ouch. Well, Vader because he was stiff, and Hansen because he was blind.
It's funny.
Depth perception's not stellar, but
I forget. I heard interview, you know, in recent months, somebody saying, yes, they think Stan Hansen just said that he was blind because he loved to just be stiff with everybody. And that's, that was like his excuse.
He liked to be snug.
But,
he did wear glasses.
I don't know. I mean,
he did wear glasses out of the ring, though. So I don't know.
Could you imagine him coming in there with that, you know, the cowbell or whatever and
fucking your shit up from the madman from Borger, Texas? But anyway, that's another match on this card. But this is a fun War Games match. A lot of a great brawl. Most War Games matches are pretty awesome anyway. But this one is infamously known for Sid Vicious almost killing Brian Pillman at the end of the match by almost breaking his neck by botching a power bomb at the end. But at number 48 on our list from Wrestle War 1991, the Four Horsemen with Larry Zbysko against Sting, Brian Pillman, and the Steiner Brothers. In a War Games match. Yes. At number 47, the second of three matches between these two guys, Dr. G, the third of them is going to be on our show next week. But we already did the pay-per-view one. This is the we have three different kinds. We have a pay-per-view match, which we already did, a TV match, which we're doing tonight, and a hidden gem match, which we actually did on the Jenny and the Gems, and that will be next week. So Sean Kidd could be happy about this match because the next, three of the next four matches he won't be happy about. But anyway, at number 47 on our list is a match that you guys are going to do in the month of April, I believe it is, or maybe it's May, I think.
I don't think Sean's going to find you funny, but that's okay.
Well, that's too bad. He has to find me funny. on the December 28th, 1985 episode of World Championship Wrestling, the Saturday night show, Ric Flair defends the World's Heavyweight Championship against Ronnie Garvin. Now, earlier in this countdown, in this ballot, we had their match from Starrcade 87. And next week on the show, when we do matches 40 to 31, we have another Ric Flair, Ronnie Garvin match that I saw for the first time a little while ago when we did it on an episode of Jenny and the Gems. And that match is my favorite of all of them. But we don't have to get into these two intimately, Dr. G, because we kind of did when we did the Starrcade 87 match. But I will give, and I know you've known me a long time. He was never one of my favorite guys, but I've learned to like him through our JR's and my run on Place B podcast, but I had gained a respect for Ronnie Garvin, particularly in the ring, and him and Flair had a very snug chemistry. I mean, they both love to chop. So, you know, those were legit, but they had an interesting chemistry that I feel like Ronnie Garvin really didn't have with anybody else.
I agree. There was something about it. Maybe it was the chops or they did have an interesting chemistry, you know, not the chemistry that, like, say, Flair and Rhodes had or anything like that, but they really did work well together. And it was, you know, it was nice that that Garvin did get a shot with the belt, though. You know, now that I look back on things, it's like, yeah, I mean, he was it better being that, you know, when he was chasing it? Of course. But he got his little run, and I think he's, you know, if you listen to any interviews with him these days, I think he was happy that he got his little run. You know, a lot of people didn't want that, you know, even though they wanted the status of being champion, they didn't want to live the life that Ric Flair took that championship to a level. I mean, you know, I know the Funks did it in the 70s and the Briscoes, that kind of thing, but Flair really was a true traveling world heavyweight champion. And a lot of people didn't want to live that schedule. It's a lot. Mm-hmm. I mean, even Terry Funk at one point was like, okay, I'm done with this. I forget how many years he had the belt. A couple of years, I want to say. Mm. Or close to a couple of years. And after a while, it's a lot. You have to be at Flair was so in love with the business, he was able to do that. So, you know, when you see an opportunity like somebody like Ronnie Garvin getting a shot at the championship, I think fans were pretty excited about it. I mean, at that time, you know, a lot of people wanted to see Flair lose. So when they got a chance to see it and just, you know, again, I can't say that they had any bad matches. that I remember, Flair and Garvin. Mm-hmm.
No, like I said, there's three specific matches between these two. The pay-per-view one, which was Starrcade 87, which we talked about three episodes ago, I think. This one, which was the TV show, the TV match. And then there is a sort of a TV show, a TV match that's not very well known that we will look at next week because it's in the group of matches between 40 and 31. So we'll talk about the third match next week. But at number 47 on our list, the second time these two are together in our ballot, from the December 28th, 1985 episode of World Championship Wrestling, the Saturday Night Show, Ric Flair defends the world's heavyweight title against Ronnie Garvin. These next two matches, Dr. G, we'll do together because guess what? They're the same guys. And they're back-to-back. But we're going back in time because they go in reverse. Two guys had amazing chemistry together. And he was one of my favorite guys in WCW and one of your favorite guys, if not your favorite guy in the WWF. And we've talked about this guy in the past. And the chemistry I'm talking about is between Stunning Steve Austin and Ricky Steamboat. Amazing chemistry together in 1994. So our next two slots, numbers 46 and 45, are the back-to-back matches that these two had for the U.S.
They did
heavyweight
have some
title.
Good matches.
Yep. At I
know,
46.
Like I said, we know that Sean's not a big Ricky Steamboat fan, but I mean, Ricky Steamboat is not offensive to me at all. I mean, obviously, I think he was a great worker. I think if he was able to talk on the mic a little better, I think he could have been one of the best of best all around wrestlers of all time if he was a little bit better on the stick. But that's my opinion. I don't know how you feel about it. But
I've always
in terms of in the ring, woof. He's phenomenal. I mean, yeah, I think it's just Sean. Like, and I agree with Sean on this, and I know we've spoken about it on the podcast. I don't think the Savage Steamboat, and even though Savage is one of my favorites of all time, I don't think that's the number one match in WWF history. Or some people say it's the greatest of all time, but it's one of them. But I wouldn't say it's the best. But the chemistry that Stunning Steve Austin and Ricky Steamboat had together, phenomenal. And I know I've heard Stone Cold in podcasts and stuff like that. He loved those matches, and he loved working with Steamboat, and he respected Steamboat a lot.
Mm-hmm. At number 40,
and he learned a lot from Steamboat.
Mm-hmm. At number 46 was the match from Clash of the Champions 28, which is the match that actually – it was the last match of Ricky Steamboat's career. He won the U.S. title that night, but he also severely injured his back, and he never wrestled again. And at number 45 is the match before that from Bash at the Beach 1994, where Austin retained the title against Steamboat. But of course, as I mentioned, at Clash of the Champions 28, Steamboat injured his back and had to retire, and he wouldn't go back into the ring, if you remember, for another 15 years until WrestleMania 25 when he had that, when he was involved in that weird Legends feud with Chris Jericho. And then I got to watch Steamboat live for the first time in I don't know how long the following month when I went to Backlash 2009 in Providence. And I watched Steamboat and Jericho wrestle one-on-one. But the match that Steamboat had with Austin at Clash of the Champions 28 is when he injured his back and had to eventually retire. But those two matches back-to-back, a little microcosm of how good a wrestler Steve Austin was when he was just Steve Austin, before the Stone Cold, before the shaving of the head, the middle fingers, the beer. He was amazing in WCW and, you know, got forgotten in the muck and, you know, cut great promos on those guys 3 months later in ECW. So, and we all know what happened from there. So at numbers 46 and 45 on our ballot, two matches involving Stunning Steve Austin and Ricky Steamboat. At number 46, Clash of the Champions 28, and at number 45, Bash at the Beach 1994, both for the United States title. At number 44, this one really has no, I mean, you have to have this match. You have to. It is two of the best tag teams ever. And their chemistry knew no bounds. And it was kind of an extension of the feud between the two guys, the two baby faces, and the Four Horsemen as a whole. But at number 44, we're going to go to Starrcade 1986 and the steel cage match for the NWA World's Tag Team titles between the Minnesota Wrecking Crew, Ole and Arn Anderson, and the Rock and Roll Express. This was kind of Ole's swan song. He would he'd kind of get booted. They'd lose this match, and then he got hurt, and then he'd come back and Tully called his kid a snot-nosed brat, and Ole punched him.
Yeah, because I think at this time Ole wanted to take time off to be
watch
with his
son.
You know, yeah,
watch
to watch
his son
and stuff.
Tournament.
So
yeah, and then Tully called his kid a snot-nosed brat when he came back. That's what happened. And then they kicked Ole out and replaced him with, I guess, Barry Windham, right? No, with Luger. So.
Yeah, and, that's.
But.
Wow. Let me tell you something. I am gaining more and more respect. I understand that people don't like Ole because he is just a
miserable prick.
A nasty prick. Yeah, but, you know, when you listen. When you go back and we're watching this stuff a little bit more closely now, he was really good.
Yeah,
he was a solid tag team wrestler, and he was really good on the stick. I mean, I think Arn was better, but Ole, let me tell you, what a team. And if that was a team that stayed together, or if Ole was a little younger, I think that Ole and Arn could have had a better run than Tully and Arn did.
Mm-hmm.
Because they did. I mean, come on. When you were younger, I thought they were related. They looked alike.
They
you
did.
Know, obviously aren't the younger version, but yeah, it's good stuff. And you know, the Rock and Rolls. I mean, you know, maybe they weren't one of my favorite teams or anything like that. I wasn't into them like a lot of people were, but they were just so good in the ring. I mean, Ricky Morton could sell with the best of them. You know, they were so over and so hot that the crowds were so into it, and they just and they could work with anyone. They could work with the Russians. They could work with obviously the Wrecking Crew. They could pretty much work with anyone. The Midnight Express.
Yep.
You know, they could adjust their styles for any type of team. The power teams, the technical teams. Good stuff.
Yep, absolutely. And I've gained a lot of respect for the Rock and Roll Express through a lot of watching and stuff. They were never my favorite team either. But I can't argue with what they did.
They can still go today.
Yeah, they can. Yeah, they can.
35 years later.
Yeah, it's amazing. More Ole and Arn to come, and I think more Rock and Roll Express to come. But at number 44, from Starrcade 1986, for the NWA World Tag Team titles, inside the cage, the Minnesota Wrecking Crew, Ole and Arn Anderson, against the Rock and Roll Express. At number 43, this match is awesome. I bet you don't even remember this match, but this match is awesome. It opened the show. Not a lot of openers we have, but this one, it's pretty damn good. It's for the World Television Championship from Fall Brawl 1993. The champion, Ricky Steamboat, and the challenger, Lord Steven Regal. Talk about two guys that probably work pretty damn well together. Similar styles. Maybe Regal a little more kind of that British clubbing and grinding than Steamboat is, but wow. You want to talk about a pupil and a teacher? Woo!
No doubt. No doubt. I mean, you know, Steven Regal or William Regal, whatever we want to call him.
Well, in this case, Steven.
Steven Regal.
This
wow.
We're not doing the, we have too many Steves. There's too many Steves here. too many Steves, pal. So only one Steve.
That's
here,
why
pal.
That's why it's not Shane Helms.
That's right. Too many Steves, pal. But I mean, you're talking about two guys who you're talking about two guys that just, you know, yeah. And this was a good spot for Regal. He wins the TV title here. It just, it was a good passing of the torch. And
Steven Regal, whatever you want to call him, he could work in any period of time in wrestling. You know, you could have seen him back in the 60s, 70s, you know, 50s even, and in today's current wrestling. You know, he was so well-rounded, methodical, a lot of psychology in the ring, really just a good solid worker. Mm-hmm. And you know, you got to see a little bit more of his personality in the WWE, which I really loved.
Yep.
But he really and he reinvented himself in the WWE, you know, after going through some rough times personally. And I know the, you know, WWE really took care of him, and I know he's good friends with Triple H, and God bless him. I mean, I hope, you know, but he was very entertaining in his time. But at this time, you know, when this match took place, he was just a pure, you know, one that English style of wrestling that, you know, he could put on a clinic. And obviously working with Ricky Steamboat, you know, two solid, more than solid, two really good in-ring workers.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I mean, this feud goes back to earlier in the month or later in the month. Steamboat and Regal would wrestle again in October on Saturday night. And then Regal and Steamboat would wrestle again at Starrcade 93 in a 15-minute draw. So I don't have that. We don't have that match on the list, but I'm sure that match is equally as good. But I think this is their best one. From Fall Brawl 1993. At number 43 on our list, for the world television title, the champion, Ricky Steamboat, and the challenger, Lord Steven Regal. With Sir William as his manager. You know who Sir William was? Do you remember?
Bill Dundee,
who looks, oof, God, it's just a recent picture of him. Not good. at number 42 on our list. Now, Dr. G, you've known me a long time. You know my tastes in type of wrestlers and wrestling I like. And usually I kind of gravitate more towards like power, you know, bludgeon guys than high flyers. I like high flyers, but I like watching, particularly tag teams. I like watching tag teams just beat the fucking shit out of each other. And this match that we have on our countdown at number 42 is a match that fits my style of watching wrestling perfectly. We're going to go back to a show that we've been to a couple times, Beach Blast 1992, and a match for the WCW World Tag Team titles. Your champions, the Steiner Brothers, Rick and Scott, against maybe my favorite, one of my favorite tag team nicknames of all time. The Miracle Violence Connection. Terry Bam Bam Gordy and Dr. Death Steve Williams. So, Dr. G, put Rick Steiner, Scott Steiner, Terry Gordy, and Steve Williams in a ring together. And you tell me how many...
Talk about four hosses.
Yeah, tell me you're going to have, you know, punches feigned and, you know, flippy flops and... No. No.
It's going to be pure brutality.
You are going to see guys literally just punch each other in the face over and over again. And that is delicious.
You know, Terry Gordy, you really got to go back and watch a lot of his stuff. I mean, he was the leader of the Freebirds. I know everybody thinks Michael Hayes is because he was the one that was the, you know, the big talker. But if you ask anyone, Terry Gordy was the leader of that. The Freebirds, and mm-hmm. who, you know, he could really work for a big guy. You know, he could do it in the ring. You know, he could really work it in the ring. But you put those four guys in there together, woof, you're just going to get a lot of potatoes, a lot of,
mm-hmm.
you know, let's put it this way. Those guys went home with a lot of bruises and, yep. You know, definitely had to ice up the body when they were done with that match. Because there was definitely going to be some stiff shots going on there. No doubt about it.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go finish your point.
No, you know, the Steiners were just, you know, in 3-4 year period, you know, late 80s, early 90s, they were at the top of their game. They were one of the best tag teams, if not the best tag team in the world at that mm-hmm. time.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. And this pay-per-view, incidentally, Beach Blast 1992, is probably one of the few shows that I could think of that had not one but two 30-minute matches. Because this ended in a 30-minute draw. And then earlier in the show, Ricky Steamboat and Rick Rude wrestled in a 30-minute Iron Man match. So you had two matches that went 30 minutes. And we've already gone to this this show earlier in our countdown when we did Sting and Cactus Jack. So this is a great show. And this was the first pay-per-view after Bill Watts took over. So this is when we started getting the stupid DQ off the top rope crap and all that nonsense. But anyway, that match, at least with these two teams, you're not going to worry about going off the top rope for anything. But I love the Miracle Violence connection. I love Gordy and Williams, and they were an amazing team in Japan. As a matter of fact, correct me if I'm wrong. I may just be wishing this match sensually. Because I think it happened, and if it did, I need to watch it. But how about this Gaijin match in New Japan, Dr. G? Terry Gordy and Steve Williams on one side, Vader and Stan Hansen on the other side. If you're the ref, I'm like, fuck this shit, I quit.
You're probably like, all right, I'm going to take the night off here. You guys just kill each other.
Yeah, pretty much. I have to say that match happened in New Japan. It had to have, or All Japan, but I have a feeling it was New Japan. Anyway, at number 42 on our list, one of my favorite stiff fests ever, for the WCW tag team titles, the champions, Rick and Scott Steiner, the Steiner brothers, and the challengers, the Miracle Violence connection of Terry Bam Bam Gordy and Dr. Death Steve Williams. God, I love that team. And finally, at number 41, and I think, Dr. G, this is the first, probably not, but this might be the first time that we talk about the same show in one night, because we already did a match from this show, a match from this card earlier, and this one is a ton of fun, and if I remember correctly, I think this match ended with a roll of dimes, too. I might be wrong. But I think it did. We go back to Starrcade 1986. A couple matches ago, we had the Rock and Roll Express against the Minnesota Wrecking Crew. This time, the NWA World Television Championship in a first blood match. Tully Blanchard and Dusty Rhodes. Now, I may be getting myself confused. I thought this was the match that Tully used he used Brass Nux. And no, he used Brass Nux, I think, here. And Tully used the roll of dimes on Ricky Steamboat at Starrcade 84. That's what I think it was. Chad Campbell will help me clear that up. Anyway, let's put it this way. Ric Flair was not the only horseman that Dusty had good chemistry with. You know? And not only, you know, is it, you know, not only is it, I don't know if he ever worked with Arn face to face. If he did, it was probably on house shows or maybe an occasional TV. But the chemistry here with Tully is really good. And again, it's Dusty. and it's a big stage.
Yeah, those two totally work pretty well together. I can't think of a really bad match between the two. Obviously, Dusty and Flair had the better chemistry, but Dusty and Tully worked very well together. And, he's the foreign object was always the big thing.
Yep.
In those days. It's so funny because today it would, I mean, I guess in those days, maybe it kind of got ripped a little bit, but you know, because again, things were a little more segmented. You didn't have, sometimes you didn't know what was going on from territory to territory unless you read the wrestling magazines. Mm-hmm. But I think today, imagine today if you did all those things that they did back then, you'd be getting ripped every 5 seconds. So, and I think that's the problem, and again, I don't want to get on a crazy rant here, but I do think that's some of the problem today is because everybody's, could react to something right away through Twitter or any kind of social media, that it's very hard, to come up with the finishes. I mean, I know Pat Patterson, he was an expert at it, but there's so much on, and they're trying to put these weekly TV shows on, whereas the weekly TV shows when we were younger were a lot of squash matches, and then you get that occasional main event. But basically all the shows have main events on it on the whole show, so it's hard. You're trying to come up with these finishes, and what do you do? So in those days, you could do that. All right, we'll use the roll of coins again, or we'll use the the foreign object, or we'll do the Dusty Rhodes, or I think in Puerto Rico one time, Carlos Colon won the NWA World Championship, but nobody really knew about it. So then they just had him have it for a day, and then Ric Flair won it back the next day, or it was some kind of schmoz, or, something at the end, and you could get away with it back then, but you can't do that now. Mm-hmm. And, talking about how Dusty, with Tully, with the foreign objects or the coins, they were able to do that stuff back then because, the moves didn't get out instantly unless you sometimes saw it live. There wasn't the televised matches all the time like they are today. So we sit here and we look at some of the stuff from back then and it's like, wow. Some of the stuff we say, man, it's kind of corny. But in those days, we didn't care. But then some of the stuff he's like, wow, I wish they would do that today.
I know, exactly. And again,
rant there. You know me, I have to go on some kind of rant every week about something.
I said nothing. Don't apologize. We here on the Quad of Pods apologize for no great rants. And again, it's Dusty, so you're always going to get sympathy because it's Dusty. So anyway, at number 41, to wrap up our 10-match block for tonight, from Starrcade 1986 for the World Television Championship, Tully Blanchard and Dusty Rhodes in a first
match. Nice way to end it, baby. Match.
Good way to end it. So a good 10 matches tonight in the mostly
no doubt.
In the, well, half the 80s. Let's recap
go back
quick.
And
at number
watch 50, some of these.
We definitely do. At number 50, from the July 7th, 1982 episode of Mid-Atlantic Championship Wrestling, Roddy Piper versus Jack Briscoe for the Mid-Atlantic title. At number 49, from the 1986 Great American Bash Greensboro, Ric Flair versus Dusty Rhodes inside the steel cage for the world title. At number 48, the War Games match from Wrestle War 1991. At number 47, Ric Flair defending the world title against Ronnie Garvin from the December 28th, 1985 episode of World Championship Wrestling. At number 46, Steve Austin versus Ricky Steamboat from Clash of the Champions 28. At number 45, Steve Austin versus Ricky Steamboat again from Bash at the Beach 1994. At number 44, the Rock and Roll Express versus the Minnesota Wrecking Crew in a steel cage for the NWA tag titles from Starrcade 1986. At number 43, Ricky Steamboat versus Steven Regal from Fall Brawl 1993. At number 42, the Steiner Brothers versus the Miracle Violence Connection from Beach Blast 1992, and at number 41, from Starrcade 1986, for the World TV title, a first blood match between Dusty Rhodes and Tully Blanchard. That's a good group of 10 there. Looking ahead, Dr. G, to next week. Let's see, 40 to 30. Ooh, oh, boy. Oh, we've got some fun ones. We got more fun ones. Yes. They're getting better and better, Dr. G, as we move up the list.
Yes.
So that'll be next week. So that'll do it for this week's episode of the NWA Saturday Special. You can follow the doctor on Twitter at Dr. GPTB. You can follow me on Twitter at PTB Podfather. You can follow the brand on Twitter at Place to Be Nation. We got a great weekend ahead. New episode of Marty Sleaze and Pro Wrestling Love, part two of their shoot style match series. New episode of Chronology. Also dropping later today, if you're listening to this on Saturday, a new episode of Wrestling's Chicken Salad. Our man Ben Locke with a new episode. What are they making fun of this month? Check and find out. Later this week, let's see. Oh, we'll have a new episode of Main Event with Nate, Steve, and myself. We'll look back on this weekend. There's an NXT takeover Sunday night, Dr. G.
You guys it's called Vengeance Day. Rock and roll, though.
Steve says you're on a smaller network, so you know. He thinks you're on the Jenny position. I don't know. Of course, Croc and Roll. You could check out the new episode that dropped yesterday. Stay with us. More great stuff. In fact, another new show could be debuting in the near future. So stay tuned for that.
And don't forget, go to TeePublic.
That's right. Check out our store. TeePublic.com. Type PBW. Yes, and you could get some great merch with our show logos and talking to our graphics man, and we're coming up with some alternative t-shirts of some of our favorite stayings. I may actually do one that says the Quad of Pods. I'll have to talk to Mrs. Smith and my PIC because they own the other two feeds and see if maybe we can work on a cool like t-shirt with all four logos.
Do you think we could do Flunkies and Junkies or Junkies and Flunkies?
Junkies and Flunkies?
Too offensive.
I don't know. Oh, who gives a shit? I don't know. We'll see about that. We'll have to come up with some fun, with some more fun stuff to put on the in the store. No, we can't do any savage stuff. I'm not getting fined for that. Have a great week. Happy Valentine's Day for anybody who gives a crap. Enjoy Monday off. It's President's Day if you have one. And we will we'll talk to you next week. I am Scott. He's the doctor. You're not.
Ciao, baby.